Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 55 of the Juvo Hub podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Saar, and having fun with me today again is Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concept. So thank you again for being on this show. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube. If you look, search for it, Juvo Hub, you can become a subscriber there. And we appreciate those who are using the video version of this episode for training purposes in your own organization. But if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe in any of the podcast main ones that are out there, Apple, Google, Android, Pandora, you know, you name it. We're on all of them. Please subscribe and follow us there, and you'll be able to keep in touch. And on our socials too. Remember, if you haven't followed us on Instagram, we post a lot of micro content there, short little snippets of tips and tricks related to the training industry and things that you can do to improve yourself. So follow us at Juvo Hub on Instagram. So today, Mark and I are going to be talking about a rut, like what happens when you've been a trainer for whatever time period and you feel like you've got yourself into a rut. What do you do about it? And how do you know if you're in a rut? You know, I guess that's probably even another question maybe we can talk about, Mark. So what are our objectives for today, Mark? What are we talking about today?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, how can a trainer get into a rut? And then how can a trainer get out of that rut would be second. And then what are some skills that a trainer could look into? So interesting topics. And look, I think you and I from our world in training and speaking, we've obviously found ourselves at some time in a rut. So good topic.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens to all of us, you know, just maybe the subject I think is one of the things that first comes to my mind for that one question, Mark, like how can a trainer get into a rut? What are you doing with your topic? So say you have a subject that you are teaching all over the country, or you are the training director for your property management company and you're traveling from property to property and you're teaching that same class, you can bore yourself. You know, oh, it's yeah. Just like you're saying the same thing over and over and over again. You're just repeating it. You're kind of just going through the motions and going from slide to slide. And you can easily find that you can get into a rut just because you're teaching that same topic. What do you think of that, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it does happen, especially like, let's face it. Property management has certainly changed over the 24 years that I've been in this industry, from the days that I started in leasing to today, me training some of the leasing consultants that are out there. Look, times have changed, and the same content isn't, well, let me say it like this. It's still relevant. We're all doing the same thing that even I did 24 years ago, but some of the steps and some of the processes, or maybe some of the technology has changed, and it can make the job easier or smoother or more interesting. And so, look, you can find yourself needing to get out of a rut when it comes to training the same kind of content over and over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, if you're, and you and I've talked about this a few times, sometimes if you're not in touch with what's going on, you can find yourself into a rut. Like it doesn't mean you have to rewrite your presentation or your teaching topic and start from scratch. But what is new? Like what is happening? Like find some new stats, or, you know, read a book on it from a different author, or anything of those types of things will help you if, you know, you find yourself that you're getting into a rut when you're, you know, not freshening up your content and your material. So that kind of easily leads, we know it can happen. Like what are some things that you've done, Mark? And I'd like to share some things too. When I felt like I was getting into a training rut, what were some best practices and tips that you can share to help our distinguished trainers and speakers out there today?
So for me, again, spending 24 years in this and as things have changed, I love to joke about as I've gotten older, I love to keep myself around young people. I love to make new young friends if they'll have me, you know, like sometimes they'll look at me like, why is this old guy still lingering in the conversation? And then other young people embrace me and we become lifelong friends. So I love sort of snooping around the younger generations to find out what is current, what is working, because what I do know and what I have embraced is that times have changed. And what I once taught years ago might still be relevant, but it did need to change. And so I ask them, what is working? What isn't working? What do you guys do? How is it that you're communicating? What style do the customers want? But it's not just asking them. I also ask the consumers. So in any time that I can, when I'm out on site, or I try to create surveys that go out to the consumers about sort of the sales process, what did you experience? What did you enjoy? But asking questions for me is the best education that I can give myself, because honestly, they're the ones that know. They're going to tell you what they're most interested in. And you know, look, it's fascinating to me that we can, I'm going to take the telephone as an example. I do more of my training for on-site employees and the basics of, you know, a telephone sort of sales pitch or process. But, you know, a lot of times people are telling me that a lot of the consumers today don't want long drawn out conversations over the telephone anymore, right, which is pretty true. This younger generation would rather text you than they would rather talk to you on the phone, right? And so now we've had to integrate all of this new technology where some of the AIs are actually doing more of the selling, and you're gathering the information from the systems that you're using then to have a more educated conversation with your consumer, right? So it's all about that understanding, like, what's your demographic? Are they more savvy? And what can we learn from the way that they're shopping today? They will tell you what they want. And so you have to be able to change your training style and even your content to adapt with the times and change with the times.
Yeah, no, that's spot on, man. I love all of that. We can never put ourselves in a framework as a trainer or as a speaker that, you know, we've got the gospel on any particular topic. You know, it's always good to have different perspectives and keep things fresh, keep things well-researched. And even I think our mindset, you know, the times where I felt like I was kind of in a rut from a speaking perspective, I forgot about my audience. I did. I literally did. I thought, you know what? I'm bored with this. Like, how are they going? who wants to hear all this nerd stuff about making websites and tracking analytics? And like, but I forgot about my audience. Like, I was thinking it only from my perspective. And it's taken me many times over my career just to stop and remember that I have the privilege of dispensing a gift. The gift is knowledge. The gift is explanation. The gift is helping someone feel comfortable with something. No matter what it is, the gift is there. These are gifts that we are passing on to people. And I've had to make sure that I have kind of like that focus, that perspective before going out on stage, before getting on a webinar like this, taking a look at that audience and realizing they have sectioned out time in their day to come hear me speak. Mm-hmm. And, right. You know, so that reminder has always, always been helpful to me to make sure that I'm just not like, okay, yep, I've been, this is my job, going out here now, talk about nerd stuff. This is going to be great. You know, I know this stuff, black and white, upside down. I don't, you know, get out of that funk, I guess, yeah. Right? You know, just thinking about your audience, you know, is that you, what do you think of that? You concur with that?
Yeah, I was just thinking about something you and I talked about personally about yourself, when even about the way you wanted to sort of loosen up your style on our show. Yeah. You said to me, oh, my wife's been telling me I got to loosen up, you know, like you call it nerd stuff. Like you say this nerd stuff and you're all buttoned up, and that was your perceived image, you know, right? Like you used to intimidate me before I got to know you, because I was like, this dude is so much smarter than me. He is not going to want to talk to me. And then we worked together and I realized, wow, there's so much we can learn from each other. And we're just different. Our styles are different. That doesn't mean that someone's not interested. But what I loved about you is that you said, I need to loosen up. And now look at you. You don't even have on a tie. You're all, you know, comfortable. And so I think that's what it takes. You know, when you're in a rut, you have to look at yourself and say, what can I do that takes me out of my own comfort zone to be more relatable, or to say like, I'm willing to unbutton this button so I can be perceived as more approachable. But you know, it's funny. It's not just for speakers or trainers. This I think is what we can do to ourselves just in business in general. You know, really taking a look at yourself and asking, what is the one thing that I could do to change myself, either my style or my personal image, that makes me more comfortable or more relatable? And if you can embrace that, then you're on a great path.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Thank you. I remember that conversation. That was, that was hilarious. And yeah, it's like, I guess that's part of the discovery process. Like you really have to be honest with yourself to see what's causing the issue. Like, and I think it's unique to every trainer, to every speaker. It'll happen. Be aware that it's going to happen, and you know, seek counsel from fellow speakers. And once feel that you're comfortable with, they'll be able to help and perhaps give you some tips and help you get out of that. But
yeah,
very, very good. All right, so let's move on to something probably a little bit more deeper. And what are some skills or concepts that a trainer could look into? And I'll kick us off, Mark. So a real close friend of mine, who is like one of the best instructional designers I've ever met, she shared this website with me. So for our listeners, please take a moment and write this down. It'll be in the show notes, of course, but I want you to look up liberatingstructures.com. Liberatingstructures.com. I had never heard of this before. I really need to take some time to digest what's on this site, but it's amazing. And we bring this up as an example of kind of like what we just talked about. Like, what do we need to do to get out of a rut? We need to discover like, what are some other methods of training people? Like, we're used to maybe there's the conventional PowerPoint, the conventional, here's my 30-minute session. Even our show is very conventional, right, Mark? It's title, objectives, takeaways. You know, there's nothing grandiose about it, but that's what we've been used to as educators. It's typical. So I guess that's what we want you as our audience to think about, is like, what is out there? What are some other educational styles from other cultures or websites like this that you have used? And this site, liberatingstructures.com, I'll be honest with you, it gave me a headache when I read that first page. But it's something that I feel, in order for me to progress as a trainer and as an educator, that I need to dive into. And this applies to speakers. It applies to those who make e-learning content. It's across the board. Whatever genre as an educator you are, you know, I highly recommend that you take a look at this site just to read about this concept.
Yeah, I agree with the educating yourself on new ways of doing things. You keep referring to PowerPoints. And I'll tell you, Jonathan, we might be dating ourselves by continuing to say that. I was with a client recently and had a PowerPoint that I had done, and it was for some on-site team members. And one of the younger marketing people took the presentation and threw it into Canva and sent it back to me like a day later or 2 days later. And it looked so different. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean you did this in Canva? And she was like, yeah, like I use Canva. I don't even know what PowerPoint is.
Right.
And I say all that because it was funny to me to think that here this young person was that knew how to take my content and threw it into Canva. And I'll be honest, it looked amazing. It was beautifully done. And so I really like that advice. We need to embrace looking at different solutions. I also think that's one of those things where you have to get out of your comfort zone. You know, you have to look at your style, what you've been doing, and try to embrace something that you find that you like. Now, the tricky part about that is that do something that you are comfortable with, because for me, there's going to be nothing more uncomfortable for your audience than for you to be fumbling with technology or this new style of presentation and it make you look unorganized. That's tricky for me too, because I don't typically like to embrace things that I don't feel 100% comfortable with, but.
Yep. No, that is such an awesome example, Mark. I totally love that. You know, I discovered that about Canva when I first started using it. I'm like, this is way cooler than PowerPoint. You know, like, holy cow, you can do some really, really fun things. And yeah, I mean, just technology as an option to kind of get you out of that rut, you know, learning that and being able to use some new cool graphics and imagery and things along that line is fantastic, you know? So I guess that's our point. It's like, look for those ways. You know, I have like an RSS feed. I still use Feedly. I don't know if anybody's going to be dating myself with that tool, but I love all my RSS feeds of different authors and bloggers that keep me on my toes. So maybe you use something different. Maybe you just subscribe and you get them by email. But the point is, be out there and educate yourself and look for other ways that you can learn from other educators that are out there. Look for different styles and why does it work, and listen to their tips and tricks. And those are some things too that can help you get out of that rut and build on your own skill set. So
absolutely,
yeah. So cool little topic: getting in a training rut, how to get out of a training rut. And we'd love your feedback and comments. Like, please share them with us. Like, what are your tips for when you've been in a rut as a teacher, as a speaker, as an educator? Like, what do you do? What's your method? Please share it with us. We'd love to be able to share that on a future episode, and definitely our community would love to hear it on our different social channels. So thank you everyone for being here. Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, how can they connect with you, our audience, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. So it's howellcreativeconcepts.com. Howell is spelled H-O-W-L. But howellcreativeconcepts.com.
Yeah, awesome. And if you're listening to this show on the podcast, you're on YouTube for the first time, you can go to our website, juvohub.com, J-U-V-O-H-U-B.com. And if you love this material, we thank you so much for being our audience. Please share it. Please give us that thumbs up on YouTube. Give us a review on your favorite podcast station. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have any discussion topics or particular things that you would like to hear talked about on our show, we'd love to have you on the show. So reach out to us for that too. So this has been episode number 55 of the Juvo Hub podcast. Thank you everyone for being here. Until next time, class dismissed.